Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Since it has been a couple of days now since the Chiefs beat the Buffalo Bills and we're all still reworking every zany, crazy moment through our head, I must admit right up front that I watched the replay of this game, most of it, the second half, on Monday night as it replayed on NFL Network, and it was just, I never rewatch games. I just don't do it. I don't like to watch, but I don't know how these coaches do this all the time and players who say they love film study. I don't know how they go back and watch things that they know what's about to happen and know what's going to happen. It just dramatically changes everything for me. But I did this on Monday night, and full disclosure, we'll talk about that and more in the sports portion of KKHI coming up in just a little bit. Everybody I know is still just texting, talking, writing about things. I'm tempted to lead with it and go all Chiefs here at the start of the podcast, but we've done that for a couple of days now. We did a patron podcast on Monday that was loaded with that. We'll do another patron podcast on Tuesday that's going to be loaded with Chiefs and playoff information and the Kansas Jayhawks' thrilling last two victories over Kansas State and Texas Tech. There's so much craziness going on in sports. We will get to it all, but we had another one of those moments, and they just seem to be piling up on Joe Biden and the Biden administration, where something happens with Joe Biden, this president, or the administration, that you see it happen and you go, okay, there's one I'll never forget. I'll remember that one. And as they happen, now on the news, they start to replay the other six, seven, eight things that have happened. You go, oh yeah, I remember that day. I remember that plane taking off in Kabul. I remember seeing that. You know, you have these images, you have these sound bites, you have these Biden getting ice cream, being completely out of touch, news conferences where he stumbles around and doesn't know where he is. So many iconic moments in one year. And it's pretty obvious to tell this president now. See, one of the things that I think some people felt comfort in was, yeah, Joe Biden doesn't look like he's all there. You know, he doesn't have it. He's maybe old. He maybe doesn't know everything that's going on. People are kind of controlling him, shaping the narrative, telling him, hey, this is what we should be doing. And I think there was some sort of a comfort in thinking that, all right, well, that's what he is, but at least he does not appear to be overwhelmed by the pressures of the job because he's not all there. You know, one of the things we always worry about with the president is that they're too aware of all the bad things that are going on. Well, there hasn't been a president since Carter in America that has had as much bad news to deal with at one time than Joe Biden. There is nothing good. There is nothing good. He put 8,500 troops on high alert on Monday in case Russia goes into the Ukraine, which I still don't understand all of our interest in the Ukraine. I mean, I think we still have this thought process of the Soviet Union, they're imperialistic, they want to take over all these countries, and Putin wants to put the Soviet Union back together again and things like that. But I don't know what real interest we have with our blood and treasure to defend Ukraine. I like him enough. I like the new president enough. I think there are in many ways, there's a lot of countries now in Europe that are maybe more conservative than the United States. They learned about oppressive regimes, socialists, dictators, communists, that those are not good for freedom and democracy. But the Democrats don't seem to know that or care about that. And after years of thinking Russia was not a big deal, they thought Russia was a big deal because Donald Trump somehow won an election because of Russia. And now what? We're going to have these troops on the ready and we're sending all this ammunition and money to the Ukraine to help them defend themselves against Putin. So he's got that going on. He's got out of control inflation. We've got a border. Well, I guess he doesn't see the border as a problem. It's really what they want. They want to flood America with illegals and someday get them all the right to vote, which they believe presumably will be very good for them. But he has this, I don't even know what you call it, a summit with some of his cabinet members on Monday about inflation, about pricing, and he gets them together. They allow the media to come in what we call spray the room. That's television cameras get to shoot it. It's a photo op. There's no real opportunity to ask the president questions, but the gaggle of reporters will shout questions from the back of the room when they feel it's the appropriate time. And this was right about the time after they're very quiet. They all get their shots. They get what they need. And then Jen Psaki's crew says, okay, everybody's got to go. When they do, they start shouting questions at the president. Somebody shouted a question. He says, I'm not getting off topic. This is the problem that you guys all have. I'm here about an important topic, and you're wanting to ask about other stuff, and this is about this. And it was about inflation, basically. So Peter Ducey hollers out, Mr. President, Peter Ducey of Fox News, Mr. President, you've seen this clip now or heard it. He hollers out, you know, what's the impact, or is it a bad thing? Inflation going to be tough on you for the midterms. And Biden hears it, but largely ignores it. Ducey's being pushed out of the room. All the reporters are being taken out of the room. And Biden apparently thinks that his microphone isn't open, or maybe they just have some really bad producers at the White House that don't know when it's time to cut the mics off or whatever. And he turns to the people he's sitting at this table with and says, no, it's a great asset, meaning inflation. No, it's a great asset, more inflation. What a stupid son of a bitch. And he says that to these people. Ducey didn't know it. It's not the end of the world. Trump certainly said things to reporters, but my goodness, Trump got hammered for all this. I've been around media to know, I've been around all my adult life to know that it's confrontational, that Biden doesn't like the media any more than a Republican would. It doesn't make sense to me because they're all, almost all of them, 90-some percent of them are doing his work for him, but he still doesn't like them. What it is it's arrogance. It's about people in power. We see this a lot in sports. We see it with people in the NFL. You can see it many times with a Roger Goodell news conference, or you know, with management of NFL teams, or really big, self-important players that have arrogance, that have big contracts. I think it will be one of the things that Patrick Mahomes has to fight off through the years, is not becoming too disjointed from the fans that are in the stands, because your life is just completely different than theirs. He'll be a billionaire someday. And it's just going to be very difficult to identify with the average Chiefs fan when you're a billionaire. It will. And he's still, as a human being, you know, at age 25, 26, you're still evolving as to who and what you are. There will be a day when he doesn't eat ketchup on a steak. Okay? It's just what's going to happen. So, I think this was all born of Biden's arrogance. I think it's the swampiness, the 50 years in D.C. I think it's a bad look. On day one of his presidency last year, Joe Biden gave a speech to his staff, his cabinet. He did it through a Zoom call. They were all up on the screen, dozens of them on a screen. And he said to them, if I hear you treat another colleague, and he was talking about media as well, not just the people in his administration. If I hear you treat another colleague with disrespect, talk down to someone, I promise I will fire you on the spot. No ifs, ands, or buts. This, of course, was the overreaction of the Trump years. I want a president that is tough. I don't mind a president that is assertive. I really don't have him. I don't have a problem with him saying Peter Ducey's question was dumb, because it wasn't really a dumb question, but it wasn't a great question. There's only one answer. If you're asking, is inflation going to be an asset or a drag in the midterms? Well, that really is kind of a dumb question. Of course it's a drag. It's not going to help you. But to call him a name, call him a stupid son of a bitch, it just doesn't add up. And who are you're the president, you're sitting there with your cabinet members. Who are you trying to impress? This is what they do. This is who Democrats are. They are virtue signals. They virtue signal publicly. They try to tell you that they're better than everyone else, that they're filled with, their hearts are filled with love and inclusion and acceptance and diversity. And when nobody's looking, they're the most hateful, spiteful, judgmental people on earth. That's what bothers me here. That's what troubles me. Again, we knew what Trump was. Trump was honest. He would blast you to your face. He'd blast you on a hot mic. He'd blast you in a private event. We knew what he was. But Joe Biden running around publicly saying, if I hear you treat another colleague with disrespect, talk down to someone, which is really what Biden does. Talk down to someone. I promise I'll fire you on the spot. No ifs, ands, or buts. So there's the virtue signaling. We're better. We're better than Trump. We're better than these evil Republicans. We're better than insurrectionists and racists and homophobes and all these other people. We're so much better than all of them. We're better than the people in the South. We're better than Jim Crow. All this stuff, we're just better than all of it. But you know that they're not. And it's amazing. It's the one most head-scratching thing in America today. As it pertains to news and politics, it is head-scratching to me how this actually works with people. In an era of so much information and technology and everything that everyone has at their disposal, how in the world do people still buy this? How do they believe if I vote Democrat, I'm voting for the good people that are open and inclusive and share diversity and have love in their hearts? How do you think that? You know these people are hateful and spiteful. We've got a million different ways to show it to you, from Nancy Pelosi walking into a hair salon that's closed and getting her hair done when you can't, to calling Peter Ducey a stupid son of a bitch, which Peter Ducey most certainly is not. It's really what troubles me about Democrats. And Joe Biden is caught on this once again. And from day one, he has said, that's a non-starter. It's a no-go with my administration. And it's not true. It really amplified that. It put an exclamation point by it, that we know what you are. We know who you are. We know you are not what you say you are. They cannot be believed at any turn. COVID has shown us that. They just want control. They want control of everything. And they're losing control in so many places, and they know it. In the state of New York, a judge has slapped down the statewide mask mandate. Parents went to the courts and said, we don't think you should be doing this to our children. They've got a poll now. 65% of Americans are concerned about the education their kid is getting, while only 30% of American parents are worried about anything to do with COVID in the schools. That's the 65 to 30. This is an important distinction. That means the basic 30% of wackos that are far left in this country are still clinging to their masks, thinking it's going to help. They still believe the COVID vaccine is the way to go, even though it is not a vaccine. It most clearly is no longer a vaccine. We'll have more on that in a moment. It's pretty obvious that it was a vaccine for COVID-19, but not the variants. It doesn't help you now. Natural immunity is what you need. Countries all over the world know this. In America, you can't say it because we're becoming China or Venezuela, and we're repressing free speech and honest thought and real discussion. It didn't change the fact that the judge in New York said, you know what, this needs to be passed through the legislature. If you want mask mandates, it needs to be mask laws. You have to take it to the House of Representatives in the state of New York and pass the law, sign it into law, then you don't get it challenged in court. But mandates are always going to be challenged in court. And they have been in this case. And New York is lost, and these mandates are getting shot down everywhere by judges. Some of these judges are liberal, and they're saying, well, you just can't make laws like this. This is America. You can't do this. It doesn't stop them. Their best laws are the ones that social norms require, that you feel like if you don't comply with it, that you're a bad person. That's the strongest laws they can implement. Those aren't real laws. They're not on the books. The thought control, the mind police, is the dangerous stuff. When they convince everyone in America that you're a bad person if you don't wear a mask, or you're a bad person if you don't get a shot, when they convince you of that and you do things to yourself because they've convinced you that you're a bad person if you don't, that's more dangerous than law. They can't pass their laws. They can't pass their mask laws. They know they can't pass them, and they darn sure don't want to be called up on a vote for them because they got to run for re-election, and the voters will see how they voted. They don't want to vote on any of this stuff. They don't want to bring it before the House and pass laws. They don't want to go on the record. They just want to scare you into stuff. Dr. Robert Malone is the doctor and scientist who is the co-inventor of mRNA technology, which led to the COVID-19 vaccine. It is no stretch to say Dr. Robert Malone invented the COVID-19 vaccine. He invented it. They had a five-hour panel discussion yesterday put on by Senator Ron Johnson, and it was a collection of experts called COVID-19, A Second Opinion. And this was very important because it put together a giant group of experts, doctors, scientists, and people who said, wait a second, let's just tell you what we know, and we want to put out there the possibility that we're doing this all wrong. And it was very helpful. You don't watch all 5 hours of it, but people say things that really matter. And Dr. Robert Malone, who basically is the inventor of the vaccine, says it works on the original COVID-19. It does not work on Omicron. And if we keep taking this vaccine, if we keep pushing it and mandating it worldwide, we're risking a worse variation. The more we take this for something that was 2 years ago, right? 2.5 years ago, that was effective against something 2.5 years ago that doesn't work against what's going on today, we're hurting our own body's ability to thwart off what comes down the road in new variations. I can't say that I know that. I can't. I hear the man, and this to me is the most interesting thing I've heard of all this. He says the shots worldwide must stop. We are creating a situation where a worse variation is coming down the road, and we've got nothing to protect ourselves because we're putting this into our body, and our natural immunity is being compromised by the medicine in our body. We're altering what we are. We have the ability to fight this off. These are weak strains coming down the pike. But weak strains combined with being jabbed is a, according to this doctor, a terrible combination for what will happen. It's fine for you if you get it. It's minor at this point. But what it will do is mutate the virus in a worse way. It will get to our bodies and say, okay, I can't beat that. We got to find a way to do this. Whereas natural immunity is better at fighting that. And it's a little scary to hear the guy who invented the vaccine saying that my vaccine doesn't work anymore. What I co-created doesn't work. We got to move on from it. We got to let our bodies do their thing. Stop with the shots worldwide. Really, really, really important information. There is a lot of important information out there. You have to find it, and it's a shame because it just doesn't fit the Democrats' narrative, and they control all messaging now. They just control everything. Big tech, major media, everything that's out there. Any person on the street, you walk up to people on the street and you ask them what to do with COVID, and they'll say, oh, you should wear a mask and you should get the vaccine, because it's just been pounded and pounded and pounded in their head over and over and over that that's what they should do, that you're not a good person if you don't do that. Oh, brother. KKHI is brought to you by 360 Document Solutions, online at 360documentsolutions.com. Any business in Western Missouri or the entire state of Kansas can benefit by speaking with Mark Lindquist and his team of professionals at 360 Document Solutions. This is real easy. They come make your business more effective, more productive, and more profitable in 2022. It's a free call and a free analysis of everything that you have, from copiers, document technology, IT solution, mailing systems, phone systems, 360documentsolutions.com. Call Mark at 913-745-5344. That's 913-745-5344. Online at 360documentsolutions.com. Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. They'd love to build your next vehicle for you. You want to get on the list for a new Hummer? Oh, that Hummer truck looks cool. It really does. They're going to have a Silverado EV that you'll be able to put an order in on coming soon. All of these can be facilitated and brought right to your driveway by the good folks at Roberts Robinson. Had a gentleman send me an email yesterday, say he's got some transmission work he's got to have done on his truck. Who should I contact at Roberts Robinson? I said, just call Tim. He's the general manager. He's there every day, but he'll put you in touch. I don't know the service advisor's name, the service manager. Tim's the guy. Just call Tim at Roberts Robinson. Log on to robertsrobinson.com. If you want to get some service set up for your vehicle, it doesn't have to be a GM. They work on everything. They are terrific. Excelsior Springs Mo is the place to go. They'll even come pick up your car, service it, and return it to you at robertsrobinson.com, where you can shop, click, and drive. With GMC, we are professional grade. Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com. Available at Teague Tractor and Farm. I think you're going to hear more about Teague Tractor and Farm. Apparently, a lot of you have gone in there, and they've reached out to us now and said, hey, wait a second. We do tractors and lawnmowers and all this stuff for home. We want to start talking about this on the podcast this spring. I said, okay, come on, Teague Tractor and Farm. Let's do it. They're in Belton. You can see the Finch knives right there. And Spencer and Steve would love to hook you up with a great new design for 2022 of their awesome knives. Their new line is coming out right now. We're going to be visiting them very soon in the next week or two to go check them out in person at Finch Knife Company in Stanley. So I'm looking forward to doing that. If you want to see him, get online at finchknifeco.com. And, of course, Dr. Jeremy Fry and Fry Orthodontics with 12 locations in and around Kansas City. You want to give your child the perfect smile like I gave my sweet little Abby the perfect smile? Fry Orthodontics was there for her. White glove treatment. Gentle, fun, lots of smiles. She has a great smile for life now because of Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. You get free retainers for life, and Invisalign is the same price as braces. These are also really good people in Kansas City, very connected to a lot of charitable endeavors and great things in our community. Great way to get a perfect smile. Fry Orthodontics, online at fryorthodontics.com. Okay, before we move on to sports, one more thing that kind of crosses over. I guess this sort of crosses over. We got a couple things going on here. Joe Rogan famously signed, what, a $200 million deal with Spotify to be on the streaming service Spotify. I am a Spotify subscriber. I love my music on Spotify. I think their platform is the best. I think the audio quality is tremendous. I personally, when I listen to podcasts, listen on Spotify. I find it to be user-friendly. There's just a lot of things I like about Spotify. Neil Young does not like Spotify. I kind of forgot Neil Young was alive. Neil Young is a 76-year-old rocker who was born in Canada, who has told Spotify, it's Joe Rogan or me. If you don't get rid of Joe Rogan, pull Neil Young from Spotify. Of which my response would be, I don't know anybody that has Spotify that would care if Neil Young wasn't on there. I do know plenty of people that if Joe Rogan left, they'd be, oh, that's a bummer. I got to listen to him another way. Spotify has been in fights with Neil Young before. Neil Young didn't like their quality. He didn't like their treatment. He didn't think they paid enough, blah, blah, blah. Neil Young has just been a left-wing bitching and moaning complainer his entire life. Period, full stop. That's what he is. He's a miserable human being that doesn't like anything or anyone. He famously wrote a song in the 70s called Alabama. A lot of it was about Governor, at the time, George Wallace, and some of the things that were going on in the South. Democrats. He wrote it, and it led to the song Sweet Home Alabama, being written by Lynyrd Skynyrd. Were they right about Neil Young? A Southern man don't need him around anyhow. It's a anti-Neil Young song in one stanza, in one part through it. Neil Young went on to say, after Lynyrd Skynyrd said, look, we wrote this song because he wrote this song, Alabama, that is just, it's terrible. He said he's shooting at everyone in Alabama when he really only wants to shoot one or two birds in the sky. That there's one or two bad people in Alabama, but we're good people. We're not like this. That was their response. Years later, Neil Young would be on the record as saying they were right. He regrets writing the song Alabama, that it wasn't very nice of him, first of all, that it was bigoted, that he made all kinds of mistakes writing that song, and he has not played it in years. That Sweet Home Alabama, the retort to Neil Young's song Alabama, that Lynyrd Skynyrd got it right. We don't need, Southern man don't need you around anyhow. Sweet Home Alabama was sort of about the fact that a lot of people liked the Democrat governor at the time, George Wallace. They're like, no. And then they write in the song, Watergate doesn't bother us. It didn't bother us really what Nixon did with Watergate. But what George Wallace is doing as the governor of Alabama, we don't like that. We're against that. So, you know, there was in a nutshell. A Democrat racist governor and a Republican president, and Sweet Home Alabama writes the song. It becomes an anthem. It is the anthem for the state of Alabama. And Neil Young, we now know, for 40 years, has just bitched and moaned and complained his way through his life, miserable at every turn, that nothing is good enough, totally conflicted, born in Canada but becomes an American citizen because of course he did. Ugh. I've never really liked his music. I don't care if I ever hear another Neil Young song. I don't. It's just, it's not a thing for me, but this is an easy call for Spotify. If he's serious and you're making us choose, we're keeping Joe Rogan, Neil, and you're gone. Sorry. Politics aside, it doesn't matter. Joe Rogan gets Spotify attention all the time. All the time. I'd have to say that he's been good for business. Indeed. Bad for business is the Olympics in China, and Bob Costas is done being quiet about this. The NBC Sports Hall of Fame broadcaster is a lefty, and he stopped short of saying what he really needs to say, and that is, there's slave labor, China's bad, but here's where the left will speak out. Well, you start infringing on their little empire. You know, forget your freedoms as Americans, forget the Constitution. If you start trampling on the press and their freedoms of the press, oh boy, will the lefties turn on you. Bob Costas has said about China and the press coverage, mostly he's blasting the International Olympic Committee, saying, how could we be doing this? This is the fourth time in 14 years the Olympics have been in China. Why are we there? This is an oppressive regime. We all know. He wouldn't go into detail, but he goes, what's going on with the IOC? Shame on them. Anybody that wants to criticize the International Olympic Committee for being back in China, I validate that. I criticize that too. It shouldn't be there again. We just keep going back to China. So then he's basically asked, well, why is that a bad thing? Because, you know, the left sort of loves China in a weird, twisted way. And he starts talking about the press coverage and NBC going there and, you know, what it's like. And Bob Costas said, quote, everyone there is being monitored in some way, unquote. So his complaint is there's no freedom of the press, that everywhere you go to cover a story, there's somebody from the Chinese Communist Party that goes with you. They're right alongside. There are members of the party right there on the set for NBC. They're monitoring and watching everything that's said and done. And what Costas doesn't like is everyone there is being monitored in some way, unquote. And I am just going to ask Mr. Costas, all due respect, how in the world is that different than the United States of America? In 2022, how is that different than here? They're moving to see every bank transaction I do that's $600 or more. They want me to get a vaccine card to leave the country and come and go. They want to test me and have me share with them my health status to move freely, to live freely. They want to silence what can be said. They want to bring illegal people in that get things as illegals that we citizens don't get. You don't think they're monitoring the press in this country? This is how big, rich liberals who live in their own bubble lose track or forget or don't remember when they were younger and they weren't a rich, powerful liberal, what life is really like out here. That is so detached for me with Bob Costas. That if his criticism of China is everyone there is being monitored in some way, that's his biggest criticism. And this got a lot of attention because Bob Costas said it, you know, and they love him. So he said it. Everyone there is being monitored in some way. How's that different than here? I mean, it's a serious question. We're moving closer and closer to that every day. I mean, I can make a very strong argument with Democrats in control of the White House, the House and the Senate, with them in control of those right now, and the mandates, the things that they're just slapping on us without making laws, that this is a socialist country today. That's what we are. We got to take it back in November, and I think we will, but that's a long ways away. And we got a lot of heartache between now and then and a lot more things they're going to be forcing on us and a lot more monitoring and a lot more spying and a lot more cheating and cajoling. It's what they do. They're really good at it. Not unlike China. Joe Biden and his family have enriched themselves with money from China. And Ukraine, by the way. You wonder why we're putting 8,500 troops on alert for the Ukraine? Imagine that. The two hot spots in the world right now, the two things that in America that we hear most about internationally are the two places the Biden family has made hundreds of millions of dollars. From the Chinese and from the Ukrainians. And look at there. They're in the news. It's so just disgustingly dirty. And dishonest. Awful. But hey, listen, you're being monitored here. You're being monitored here. I got cut off from following Kansas City's mayor on Twitter. He's worried about a local podcast that they've blocked me from following him on Twitter. They're crazy. These people on the left are crazy. I mean, really, truly so. Nuts. All right, the sports portion of the podcast today is going to be brought to you by Merriam Body Shop, online at merriambodyshop.com. They are State Farm preferred. They do complete collision repair from start to finish. They also do small jobs, paintless dent removal, and they'll just detail your car for you if you'd like. They like your car more than you do. Only way I know how to tell you about Justin and his team. So call Justin at Merriam Body Shop and the new car image, 913-362-1198, online, merriambodyshop.com. BeStock.net, Greg has sent me over the email this week of their specials. Tremendous. For the AFC Championship game, let's do this. 75-inch Samsung 4K Q-Series, this is their flagship television, just $949, $200 less than Best Buy. Now, you can get, if you can get a Samsung 75-inch for just $599 this week, that's $300 cheaper than Best Buy. That's the TU-7000, great TV. Or if you're looking for something a little smaller, the 58-inch, $449, cheaper than anywhere online. They're also loaded with Apple products. iPad 8s, space gray, just $499. Sealed iPhone 8s, brand new, $249. Apple accessories, cases, chargers, all these things. Hundreds of items, all cheaper than anywhere else. And 2020 MacBook Air, space gray, 8 gigabit RAM, just $999. Free delivery on any TV, $1,000 or more. BeStock.net in Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road. Really appreciate those guys, especially in time for the playoffs. And Ron Buck and our team of friends at Buck Roofing and Construction, 913-384-2680. You will sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. All great guys, all great sponsors. So I rewatched the Chiefs game, and I was, you know, it's different when you know how it ends, but I'm still watching it through a lens of how is this even going to be possible? I mean, the Chiefs were beaten on so many occasions. It's like, how is this possible? Oh, yeah, that's how. I think the most shocking thing to me in the aftermath from after the game is the audio clip, the video, certainly, of the play in regulation, the pass to Kelce that set up the field goal to send it to overtime. The most shocking thing is Mahomes at the line of scrimmage. Kelce's right there on the left, and he goes, Kelce, do it, Kelce, do it, do it, do it. He's telling Buffalo where he's going. He's just telling him. So I think we'll learn more about what that all meant. I guess that meant you're going to take the deep seam and not the shorter route. I'm not sure. I think he was looking at it, say, we can get more yards than we think. I think the Chiefs were trying to get to like the 46-yard line and maybe kick a, the 40-yard line would be like a 59-yarder. 42-yard line would be a 60-yarder, something like that. I think that's where they thought, well, if we get there, let's give him a chance. And then I think he saw something there in the coverage that they had. That was really bad defense by the Bills on those two plays. Really, they did so many things wrong in the last 13 seconds. So many things wrong, and the Chiefs capitalized on it. I think Mahomes was looking at it going, we can go farther than that. We got plenty of time to run farther. There were 8 seconds left because they got a timeout left. We got plenty of time to run and slide and go. And then they, of course, they did it. The mistakes Buffalo made, just incredible. First thing is, should not have kicked it out of the end zone. It was an absolute gift from God. If you kick it to the 5-yard line, Pringle runs off 6 seconds probably. I don't know if he would have had the wherewithal to fair catch it. Maybe he would have. But I can't say that. I can't say these guys are that smart. I can't. And he's probably thinking when the ball's in the air, I can get this and run this back and we're going to win the game. I mean, there's all kinds of things. It was just a gift that they kicked it in the end zone. They laid off and let the first play get 19 yards, I think it was. 20 yards on the first play. The second one was 24 yards. Something like it's 24 and 19 or 25 and 19. It was 44 yards in 10 seconds, essentially. They laid off, and then the seam that was there for Kelce and Collinsworth, I didn't hear it originally, but I heard him say it on the rebroadcast last night. He said, you know, they were protecting the end zone. They didn't want to lose. And Collinsworth, all these announcers have gotten really, it wasn't Collinsworth, I'm sorry, it's Romo. All of these announcers have gotten very soft on this. At that point, that's where you say, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Why are they protecting against a touchdown? That's ridiculous. Keep them from getting in field goal range. It's just two plays. It's two plays. And they, of course, didn't. And I didn't think, listening, I didn't think Romo was very good. I don't think he was on his best. I think he's saying less than ever. Does that make any sense? I'd like a little more opinion out of him and a little less, oh, that was a great throw. Look at these quarterbacks play. Look how great they are. That was a great throw. Well, I know that's a great throw. Give me an opinion. Give me somebody who, you know, when the receiver, Gabriel Davis, makes a cut to the end zone where the Chiefs cornerback literally falls, he fakes him out of his jock strap, that's where you just got to say, time and place, never seen anything like that. Never. That we just saw something you don't see. We see a guy occasionally get decoyed so bad he slips and falls. That was not about slipping and falling. That was you got burned. You got mossed. Whatever you want to call it, it happened. You got torched. Gabriel Davis made a great play, an unbelievable head fake and move for the touchdown. And I just didn't think there was enough of that in the broadcast. That's okay. I don't want to be about necessarily criticizing the broadcast. But that last bit of the game, come on, what in the world were the Bills doing? What was that defense? Chiefs took full advantage of it. God bless Andy Reid and the Chiefs for knowing exactly what Buffalo was going to give them and doing it and using their timeouts. How many different Chiefs player on the pass to Kelce at the end of regulation, how many Chiefs players, if you had the film of all 22 players, how many of them do you think called timeout? We know at least four. Because we saw two linemen doing it running down the field. And we saw Kelce do it as he slid, and we saw Mahomes do it. That's at least four. I'm going to bet it was all 11. Every Chief was calling timeout. And so was Andy, and so was everybody on the Chiefs bench. It was just great. They were so locked in. Another nuance, another thing, and this is one of the things that sometimes bothers me in the regular season, but you see in the playoffs when they say the game is faster, it's more important, it's different in the playoffs. Did you notice on those last plays on the Chiefs drive, after Buffalo took the lead, this is when the Chiefs went down and scored with a minute to go or a minute two, whatever it was, on that drive and then the last drive with 13 seconds, those two plays. Did you notice what Chiefs receivers were doing that you didn't really notice them do much all year? They were all turning to the line judge. They were up on the line of scrimmage as far as they could get, and they were all turning to the line judge asking, am I okay here? Am I lined up legal? I loved it. I loved it. They're like, this is it. Game on the line. That, you know, you revert back to what you're always supposed to do. If I was a receiver, I'd do it every time. You're taught, get as close to that line of scrimmage as you can. Get every inch you can get to run your route. That puts the defenders a little deeper. It matters. You're going to be right up on the line. I don't know why you would ever not ask if you were concerned. Just double check. This is a big play. It's a huge play here. They double checked on all of them. They clicked into a mode after a great game of football. They clicked into an even greater mode of ball security, two hands on the ball, checking to make sure you're lined up properly, all of those things when it mattered most. It does make you ask, why don't they do that all the time? But I was thrilled to see them do that in that situation. Look, Patrick Mahomes, after the game, pulled his helmet off, ran down to the end zone, celebrated with Kelce for about 5 seconds. Then he went and found Josh Allen. Most people around the country are saying this is one of the greatest acts of sportsmanship they've ever seen. And it is a great act of sportsmanship, but here's why. It's a great act of sportsmanship. We know Patrick Mahomes, and we know he would have sought out Josh Allen in the very same way had the Chiefs lost or been just as gracious in losing. A lot of times, it looks really easy to be gracious when you win. Nebraska fans used to brag all the time that we applaud the team as they're leaving Memorial Stadium. When Nebraska would beat you back in the day, they would stand and clap for you as you left the field. And that one, I never appreciated. I was like, I don't appreciate it. They win every game. They're rubbing it in a little bit. Maybe they mean it, but it's easy when you win. The second my team, Kansas State, went up there and beat them, Bo Pelini was the head coach then. It was at that time the worst loss in that stadium history. Kansas State just pummeled them. Did they clap for Kansas State as they left? No, they threw things at them. And Bo Pelini called Snyder a name, and it was ugly because they lost. I don't think that about Mahomes here. I think this was absolutely genuine. I think both those quarterbacks, watching the 25 points be scored in the last minute 56 or whatever it was, seeing that take place and being so helpless, because a quarterback, there's nothing like it in all of sports. When you're on the field, you're in complete control of everything. When you're not, you're the most helpless person in the stadium. And we saw both of them just sitting there alone, stoically. They don't even watch the game, folks. They sit on those benches. They can't see anything on the field. They look up at the Jumbotron and watch the game live on the Jumbotron. It is the most helpless feeling in the world. And those two sat there and watched each other, and I think they both got the same thing in their head. Regardless of who wins this, wow, dude, you are something else. And that's what happened. And Mahomes, he celebrated with his teammates for about 5 seconds and bolted to the other side looking for Josh Allen. And they embraced in a long hug and had a discussion. And I thought that was really cool. A couple of other quarterbacks, not really cool this week because they're not playing. Did you know this is the first time since 2009? The first time since 2009 that Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers is not playing this weekend. It's the first time we've had a championship weekend in the NFL since 2009 that Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are both out. Brady's been asked about retirement, and it sort of sounds like he hinted like maybe. He said, I got my family's going to be big in this. I got to talk it over. We don't know what his body feels like. We don't know if he thinks he slipped. We don't know if this was painful. What we do know is this past weekend, he did not look like he belonged. When you watch Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, he didn't look like he belonged. But you can almost say the same thing for Aaron Rodgers, who was the best quarterback all year and just got stymied on a freezing cold night by a good Niners defense. It happens. We saw it happen to Mahomes in the Super Bowl last year. These guys aren't going to retire easily. Aaron Rodgers is going to be a big story. Aaron Rodgers losing that game matters. Okay, that mattered for him. The fact that they lost another one, they won 39 games in 3 years, and they've got bupkis to show for it. That game mattered. The fact that they lost mattered for his future. I don't know what happens to Aaron Rodgers. My gut tells me he'll be back in Green Bay and playing football. I don't think he's going to walk away, but he might. I think he's a threat to retire and say, you know what? I'm just done with this. I'm just done with it. That would look like you'd look like a loser. The guy clearly is good enough and still has enough juice that if he's in the right spot, can win a Super Bowl. And I would think he'd want to win that second Super Bowl. He's a Hall of Famer either way. But having won just one is not as good as winning two. And you know what? This might be Patrick Mahomes' last best chance to get his second. We all sit here and feel like the Chiefs are going to win five of these things. The Chiefs are an overwhelming favorite with the field that remains. The herd got thinned big time last weekend. The Chiefs in Vegas nobody has been a bigger favorite to win the Super Bowl heading into Final Four weekend like this in years. Years. Chiefs are a 7-point favorite in the championship game. Wow. And the two teams coming from the other way, the one and the two are both out over there. Brady and Rodgers are gone. You got Matthew Stafford, who's won all of two playoff games in his whole life. And you've got the 49ers, who are going to have to beat the Chiefs with their defense. That's it. Garoppolo ain't going to do it. He may have a better game against the Chiefs than he did last week, but he's not going to go out there and put 40 on the board. He's not. I mean, it couldn't be a better setup for the Chiefs. Aaron Rodgers got to be frustrated. I don't know what he does. I don't know what Tom Brady does. And I don't know what Rob Gronkowski does. I just know players retire hard. I know that they're more likely to say something that leads you to believe they're frustrated and quitting the last day of the season or the day after. And after they get away from it, Gronkowski's going to throw some boat parties. He says he's going to take 3 to 5 weeks. That means he's going to get a big old ship somewhere in the Bahamas and sail around and have girls and do all kinds of fun stuff. And then he's probably going to go, you know what? Isn't that hard to come back and make another $10 million? I should probably do it. We'll see. I don't know. But a lot of people are talking about those three. And a lot of people are talking about Kansas basketball. I gave Jessica a hard time before we went to sleep last night. She says, my palms are sweating. She's watching the KU double overtime game. My palms are sweating. I can't take this. This has like been the worst sports weekend of my life. My hair's falling out. My palms are sweating. This is so stressful. I said, Jessica, you're kidding me, right? She's like, no, like, she says, feel this. She takes my fingers and puts it on her neck. She goes, feel my heart rate. This is during like the basketball game and the Chiefs game on Sunday night. I said, sweetie, you win every game. Step back from it a little bit. You're a Chiefs fan and a KU basketball fan. You win every game. This is the easiest fan in the world. It doesn't mean every game's going to be easy. You win them all. I'm looking at Bill Self last night. Oh, my God, he's sweaty and stressed, and he looked terrible. I know he's been through a lot the last week, but he just looked terrible, like just not good at all. I don't know at what moment I thought Kansas was not going to win that game last night, because they always win, just like they won Saturday over K-State. Down 16 at the half, I'm on the record in front of people. I said to them, Kansas is winning this game. One of them agreed with me. Others did not. And how did it happen? Well, you saw it. Look, that different things happen at different times. The K-State thing was a joke. I'm not a big ref guy, but Kansas played 10 minutes and 12 seconds to finish that game without being called for a foul. And they shot 14 minutes of free throws because they called three fouls on K-State in the first 20 seconds of the second half. Almost as if to say, we're going to get this thing tighter. We got to keep people watching or streaming or whatever they were doing. I don't know. It was bizarre at best, but it happened. And you knew it was going to happen. And if you watch the first 20 seconds of the second half and saw those fouls on K-State, you're like, okay, we know where this is going. And it did. And they made plays, and K-State didn't, and K-State missed a bunch of shots. K-State had a simple thing to do. Go score 30 points in the second half, and you win. That's it. In the end, all they really needed to score, I think, was 27 points in the second half to win, but they didn't. They scored 25, and they lost. Kansas is the better team. Kansas wins games like this. Bill Self's the best coach you've ever seen at the end of a game in college. He coaches like an NBA coach. Kansas State had a chance Saturday to do a 2-for-1 with 53 seconds left. They botched it. They didn't do it. They wound up getting the 2-for-1, sort of. Their last possession was very short and became just a really long three-point shot with a chance. So they didn't really run that right. Bill Self did on this night. He did. He got a timeout with 47.7 seconds. It's good to be Kansas. He got a timeout with 47 seconds to go, and then Abaji drives the lane and trips, basically. And they call a foul with 41 seconds left, and Kansas has just achieved its 2-for-1. I think Abaji only made one of two there, but it didn't matter. You got a point and a possession by driving the basket and getting a foul called in your favor. Of course. Yes, that's what you do. And if you're Bill Self and you've been coaching long enough, you know Abaji's the best player on the floor. He's going to get the call. He's going to get a call, and he did. It was feet getting tangled. It was a trip. Basketball rules, is that a foul? You're guarding somebody, your feet get tangled. Most times it's not. That time it was. And he goes to the line, and Bill Self managed the rest of that game. They fall behind five in overtime. It didn't matter. They hit a three. They come back. Abaji hits the clutch three-pointer to keep the game alive. Ridiculous. But you know they're going to do it. They're Kansas. They're not losing that game. And I feel the same way now about the Chiefs. After what I saw on Sunday night, I'm like, and I didn't think they were going to win. I'm being honest about it. I didn't think there's any chance. 13 seconds left. This is absurd. You can't make that up. From now on, no, they're not out of anything. They came back in the Super Bowl and won it. The outlier now is the Tampa game in the Super Bowl. That's the outlier. The postseason outlier for the Kansas City Chiefs is the Tampa Super Bowl game. The fact that they didn't come back and win it was shocking, because that's all the Chiefs do in the playoffs is come back and win. I'd like to see them go play two games in a row now where they don't have to come back and win. Just go get a lead. It's Cincinnati. Go get the lead. Great basketball game, though, by the way. Tremendous game between KU and Texas Tech on Monday night, as Big Monday is back. Back 9 Development is a great sponsor of KKHI. We really appreciate TJ and his team. A couple of you have invested and purchased in Solheim condominiums at Grandmere, and you've already found the value of these babies have gone up. These are upscale condos in the Flint Hills on the award-winning Colbert Hills Golf Course. Beautiful vistas and views, giant decks, fully appointed, great as an investment property, a rental property, a second home, weekend getaway for hunting or going to the lake or going to K-State sporting events. Really, really cool stuff. Call TJ personally and just say, hey, we'd love to come meet you and tour the facilities. 785-236-0161. He's a custom builder. If you're looking at building something, you might want to get involved with him. If you do business in that industry, Maybe you'd like to become one of his subs or contractors and do business. He's doing a lot of work right now, and maybe your business can do business with his business. Find a little symmetry with KKHI. You'll love doing business with other conservatives. Online at back9development.com. It's the number nine. Back9development.com. Big week of podcasts. It's championship week. I'm so excited for all this. We're going to have all kinds of great stuff on this week, and we very much look forward to that. We're always thrilled to have you here. So many of you are spreading the word and telling people about the podcast. They're hitting the like and follow button. We're getting more and more people following the podcast on a daily basis, and that's just so great and so helpful. Let's just enjoy this ride as the Chiefs are headed to the AFC Championship game on Sunday. And as always, thank you so much for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.